Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Does anyone need a handout? Brother Sam's got them in his hand if anybody needs one. You can slip your hand up real quick if you do. All right, I think we're good, Brother Sam. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 is where we'll start out this evening. And I believe we'll wrap up this series tonight. And but looking at, again, biblical principles of dress and what the Word of God says. And so, again, I try to mention at the beginning of every summer, we go through at least a message on dress and a reminder of it. And but I don't, well, I'll talk about it in a sermon. But again, I hope that maybe you've learned some understanding, as the Bible says. And that's a fancy word for why we do what we do. Because if we don't have understanding, it really doesn't matter. It's just an opinion. But when you have the scriptures, then it becomes a matter of obedience. And so that's what we've sought for. And so if you want to look at that with me real quick, introduction says, dress matters to God. And we know that. We established that on lesson number one. Because if you remember, at the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve dressed themselves, and God said, that's not good. And he clothed them. And their man-made attempt at clothing was not acceptable. So the idea that, well, just whatever clothing is fine is thrown out the window, because obviously God, it does matter to God. And things that matter to God should matter to us. Dress, again, is about two things. It's about the heart, and it's about authority. Not a Travis Burke authority. It's a matter of God, and God being authority in your life. When we're clothed first on the inside with, and we looked at these things, righteousness, salvation, strength, honor, humility, and judgment, once we're clothed with those things, then the outside becomes a much easier a task once we have the inside the way it should be. Matthew 7:15 reminds us that there are sheep, there is sheep's clothing. And again, there's wolves that will come around in sheep's clothing. Well, there obviously is sheep's clothing, and we've used that as a springboard to kind of build our thoughts off of. We, being God's sheep, should wear sheep's clothing. So we've studied this, and so far we've seen that we're to keep our bodies covered. A sheep is covered. We said head to hoof, right? But they're covered. But we looked at the biblical requirement not to show our nakedness. God defined our nakedness as showing, and from these scriptures, again, Isaiah 20, verse number 4, the buttocks, the loins in Exodus 28:42, the thighs is referred to as nakedness in Isaiah chapter 47, the trunk and the chest is nakedness in John chapter 21, and in Ezekiel chapter 23 and verse number 3. And so we've seen that that is God's definition of nakedness. And when we show our nakedness, nakedness is always associated with what word? Shame, always associated. And you say, well, no one's ashamed anymore. And the Bible talks a lot about that too, that eventually people can get to a place where they don't even blush anymore. People lose the ability to be ashamed, and that is not a good sign for the heart of people. And so here, we've seen that, you know, we should be covered. And those, how God defined it, and leave it up to anyone's opinion, God gave us the definitions, all right, and what was nakedness in the Word of God. And again, to show nakedness is shame. We then saw that our dress should be full, as we are to dress without focusing on the form of the body. We should dress in humility and holiness. Ladies and men are to dress modestly. We then saw that our dress should be honorable. Our dress should be respectable and orderly. We should dress in a way that people see, all right, that we have an orderly God, all right? And again, don't take things, you know, and run. There's a ditch on both sides of a road. Remember that, all right? I don't think you need to dress around in a tuxedo every day of your life, all right? But, you've seen that group where one shirt's tucked in, the other half is not. Pants are somewhere down around their knees, right? And they're going around showing half their underwear when they walk around, and their hats turn, you know, whatever way, sideways, definitely not straight, and their hats turn whatever direction, and, you know, and it just, it's not becoming of a Christian. The way we dress ought to point people to the Lord. That's the point to everything. The way we dress ought to point people to the Lord. And so we ought to dress in a way. And again, we talked about modesty. And we described what modesty was in the Word of God. For the lady, it's the letting down, all right? And for, you know, the man, again, it's a matter of covering the nakedness. And the same idea, all right? Not to show, you know, the form of the body. Unfortunately, we live in a culture today where men are dressing in that way, all right? They you know, put on clothing to accentuate their body. And it should not be for man or lady. So number four, bringing us to our fourth point where we ended up last week. I just put it this way. Our dress should be fireproof. Wool is self-extinguishing. If you try to light wool on fire, it won't burn. It's amazing, all right? But it will not burn. And I think it's important as we continue to study our sheep's clothing, as we relate it to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. If you turn there, look at a few verses with me real quick. Let's start in verse number 9. It says this, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build up upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work, of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollo, Cephas, or the world, life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's." Now you're going to see a couple things in this passage of Scripture, and the idea is this, that we all are going to stand before God someday as believers at the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm not going to go into great detail of that. I think we all have a pretty good understanding of that tonight. But again, the Bible says that we're going to give an account for our works. All right? Now, it has nothing to do with your salvation. The reason you're at the judgment seat of Christ is because you are saved. All right? And that's very clear. You can see that in verse number 15. It says there, "If a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." All right? It's not a matter of salvation, but it is a matter as a believer that at what we did and how we spent our life, we're going to give an account for that someday. All of our works classify under some category. It's either here in this passage of Scripture, wood, hay, and stubble, or these gold, silver, and precious stones. In other words, we're either going to live in a way that's... And we always use those verses to talk about investing our time in things that matter, and amen for that, right? That's true. Y'all with me tonight? You're all staring at me really weird tonight, right? Yeah, all right. Been a long week. Yeah, all right. We always apply it to that, or winning souls, and amen. Absolutely applicable, right? That is our crown of rejoicing someday when we get to heaven, is people that are in heaven because we, you know, either planted a seed, watered it, but God gives the increase. But the fact is this, all right, all of our works are going to be tried. We're not going to get around this. And what you put on your body, you're going to give an account for. I mean, all of our works we're going to give an account for. We are. And so what we do with this, all right? And so I'll just point out these thoughts here, all right? As I said, you know, wool is self-extinguishing. I just thought that was interesting at this point, right? The right kind of clothing is not going to just burn up. You say clothing isn't important. Well, to God it mattered. And again, follow along, and I don't think you'll fall in a ditch on either side, but letter A, carnality will cost you rewards. Now, you got to amen that. That's just a fact. Carnality will cost us rewards. When we live a carnal life, when we live in the flesh, when we live according to how we want to live and pleasing ourselves, it ain't going to send you to hell. But it will cost you rewards. If we want to go out and spend all of our life upon ourselves and never invest in others and never point anyone else to the Lord and just live on me, someday that will all burn up. All the things we did in our life will be nothing. Nothing. So our carnality will cost us the opportunity for rewards. And yet, at dress, we just want to kind of write it off as it's not an important, right? Dress, you know, our dress is all moral. There's nothing good or bad about it. Well, every work we're going to give an account for. And dress is extremely important. I think you'll see it in a second. But carnality will cost us rewards. Letter B, it is not a matter of salvation. All right, how you dress is not going to send you to heaven or hell. It is not. So I've already, in the last 4 weeks, had someone who's made the accusation that I said you're going to hell if you dress wrong. I don't know what sermon they're listening to. And I told them, I said, go back and listen very closely. Put it in slow-mo. Listen extremely closely. You'll never hear anything like that. And that would never be taught, all right? No work, all right, will determine whether you go to heaven or hell except for your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, all right? You know, and dressed has no matter in that, all right? But what we're talking about, and we're getting to it again and later, is this. It's a matter of obedience and love for the Lord. It's not a matter of salvation. Let her see, dress in a way that helps the cause of Christ. Everything in our life that's going to matter in eternity is what we did to help the cause of Christ. Now listen, that can be everything from going out and being a witness to the person that, you know, that God tells you to hand a tract to or to share your gospel testimony with. Amen. But it also is a matter of this, I don't know about you, right? In the last week, I've had to mow my grass twice. And that annoys me because I'm busy, right? And I had to mow it twice. And, you know, why did I mow it, right? Because my neighbors watch. And let's face it, my house is overrun and I've got rodents running everywhere and the gutters are falling off my house. That said something about me and who I serve. Yeah, I mean, everybody knows I'm a Christian. My neighbors all know I'm a Christian. Oh, they know I'm a pastor. Now, I don't have a fancy house, but I try to take care of it. You know, why? Because it's a testimony. It's a matter of testimony. You know, it's a matter of you're portraying of who you live for. And we ought to dress in a way that helps the cause of Christ. Let's just be real. Ready? Let's be real. I know the carnal Christian crowd out there likes to argue this point, but I'll just say, show me the fruit, my friend. All right? All right? If you go out there and dress like a heathen, how many people are you going to bring to Christ? I mean, I heard stories my dad used to talk about all the time, you know, when he was preaching, you know, you can't go out to the dance floor. He used to, when he was a teenager, he loved going to dances, and he got saved and he quit doing that, all right? You know, but, you know, he said, I quit, because how many people are you going to hold close to you that aren't your spouse and say, can I tell you about Jesus, right? It ain't going to work, right? I mean, how many people are you going to, you know, I don't care what they say. I even have a family relative that's into this right now, right? You can go sit in a bar and drink with them and buy them all a drink. You're not going to lead them to Christ. That's a joke. You're just making an excuse for you to be carnal is all you're doing. The world's falling apart as I speak, right? Well, all of you, take a moment, please. Find the emergency. Are we going to be okay? I don't know. Amber alert? Thank you, brother. All right. They're not here, so you're okay right now. All right, so I know everyone here. All right, good. All right. But again, everything we do should be in a matter of helping the cause of Christ. If I dress and look and talk and act just like the world, what are they being saved from? And there's a different philosophy being taught in churches today, and it's wrong. That, you know, you can be just like the world. And the reason that philosophy is wrong is because we need to see what sin is. If you never call sin out for what it is, and again, you do it in love, and you preach the truth in love with compassion, and build relationships with people so they want to hear this stuff, all right? But the fact is this, if you never learn what sin is, and you ever see you're wrong, I talked to someone today, and I said this, all right? I said, your problem is you won't admit you're wrong. And we have a hard time with that in this world today. No one's ever wrong. Our kids are never wrong. I mean, there's even schools now not giving grades because we don't want to hurt any kids' feelings, all right? Right? In our sports competition, everybody wins, right? Nobody is wrong, right? If, you know, and you know, if, it's just, it's sad. You know, I don't care who, and it isn't just kids. It's all the way up, right? I mean, all the way up. We just had an entire half of our country through a temper tantrum because another guy got elected. I mean, just bad. Burning stuff, right? Because we can't believe we were told no. We live in that world today that no one's wrong. Well, we will never come to a point of salvation until we understand I am a sinner. I am wrong. And I know clothing doesn't send you to heaven or hell, but I will say this, that our clothing as a believer should be a testimony to people that God changed me. God changed my life. And you'll know this, that letter D, we will all stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. Look at this verse with me. And again, it just makes our point here, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse number 10. Says this, for we must, how many of us? All, every believer here, all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. We are going to give an account for what we do at the judgment seat of Christ. All the good things, we love talking about it, right? The crowns, the rewards, amen for those things. But it's not just the good. We are going to recognize how what we did was wrong too. Whether it be good or bad. Now, and it says there, it will give an account of these things and what we've done, whether it be good or bad, for the cause of Christ. So number one underneath, I say that there is a terror of the Lord involved here. Verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Now again, I'm not saying, you know, you should, don't go to the other extreme. But at the same time, we live in such a cush world today that we don't stop and think about this. And I'll just say it how I believe the scripture is saying it right here. It will not be a pleasant experience to stand before God as a believer having done nothing for the Lord or having known right and chosen to do the wrong. You're not going to stand there with a big grin on your face saying, oh, well, we're standing before a holy God someday. A God that told us what was right. A God that showed us what was right. A God that told us to be holy. And so we should desire to be as holy as we can, because someday we're going to stand before that holy God. And there is a terror involved of standing there and having known to do right and doing the opposite. Verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Everything in our life should be about pointing people to the Lord. Now you can do, you know, you can go out and have a great time, all right? Go, you know, down to the park, go watch a game, go do whatever. But you can do those things and be a testimony. If I'm sitting down at the park and, you know, and I'm dressed immoral, if I'm sitting there saying things that are wrong, if I'm sitting there consuming alcohol and putting things in my body that is detrimental and messing up with my mind, and I'm just like the world, you know what? Then I'm hurting the cause of Christ. I'm not pointing people to the Lord. If anything, as a professing believer, I'm pointing them away, because they're going to look at me if I'm living that way and say, it's just like me. You see, our life should be different. And appearance is not something, secondly, in verse number 12 in this passage, appearance is not something to glory in. It says in verse number 12, for we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that we may have something to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. You see the balance here, all right? And I know this is not talking all about dress, but yet at the same time, it is part of what we're going to stand before God in, and it even mentions our appearance. How that, you know, just because you look good, by the way, doesn't mean you're right. And our appearance is nothing to glory in. If you walk around and say, well, I dress modestly. Well, with that attitude, who cares? Because you're canceling out whatever you're doing right there with a prideful attitude. Well, you know, I don't wear what they wear. Well, you know, you're walking around patting yourself on the back or looking at other people. You know, and it's something you got to teach your kids, right? You know, with our kids, I remember whenever, you know, I'll use Hope. She's not here, right? I won't use Grace because she gets embarrassed. So, but, you know, I remember Hope. She starts asking questions at a certain age, why don't we, do this? Why don't we, dress that way? You know, and we teach them that, right? I remember every once in a while, the girls would, when they're growing up would say, oh, that person's not dressed right after hearing a sermon or something like that. They're not dressed that way, right? And my wife and I both have taught them from the very beginning this answer. It's only because they don't know the Lord, and we need to love them and just hope they get saved. Then the rest God will teach. But we're not going to go around and say, well, us at Kazadel Baptist Temple, we're not like all those other believers. We have high standards. Well, you're also full of wicked pride. You don't glory in appearance. There's only one reason. Everybody look at me. There's only one reason why I dress according to what we preach. Ready? It's to honor God. And if I'm honoring God, I'm going to point people to Him. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about pointing people to the Lord. And when people see this change in our life and a walk with the Lord, number three, we do right. And I don't have time to look at all these verses in detail. We got to keep going, all right? But we do right. You can read this passage on your own. Number one, in verse number 13, for the glory of God. We do right for the glory of God. Number two, for the edification of others. Verse number 13, whether it be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. Have we seen that verse? We do right for the glory of God and to help other people. To help other people. I've got two neighbors on both sides of me. Both, neither one are going to church. Tyler, my one neighbor that lives in the house that Roberts used to live in, he's the manager of Skyline right here in Goshen. If you ever see him, talk to him, all right? He's 27, 28, and I mean, if he's not working at Skyline, he's riding his Harley. I mean, he just goes and goes and goes. You know, and I'm trying to, we had him over. We've done things. We're trying to build a relationship with him and get him to church. Our neighbors were doing the same thing on the other side, that family. Grace and I mowed their grass with their vacation. We try to do things for them. And, we're trying to build relationships with them. But the fact is this, if I come out jamming to some rap song, halfway dressed with earrings up and down my ears and nose, and say, hey, I want you to come to church with me, what difference am I really going to make in their life? And trust me, I'm not just saying things. I sit in a parade, Every July 4th, I sit in a parade for sermon illustrations. That's my only reason I do it. And I sit there and watch, some of these churches go by, right? The one church goes by, it's big in Blanchester and some non-denominational, and I mean, they were rocking the house down. And they were bragging about, going to church, then going to the Ron's place there in Blanchester, a little bar, and they're not pointing people to the Lord. Quit fooling yourself. All they're doing is getting people to feel better about their sin and themselves, and now thinking they're okay because they're sitting in a church. That's all they're doing. Because if any man be in Christ, you know the rest of the verse. He's a new creature. You're not going to keep on partying and no conviction and no shame. And it's a blasphemy what they're doing. And they will give an account someday to that for God. But we do it for the glory of God. We do it for the edification of others. And we do it because we love Christ. He died for us. We should live for Him. I hope you get that tonight. He died for us, so we should live for Him. On the back, our new life in Christ should result in a new life lived for Him. I hope you read all these verses in this passage of Scripture. Verses 18 to 20, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now I want you to catch A and B, because it's so important. Be with me on the back here, top of the page. Letter A, we are not earning our salvation, and we are not earning the love of God. You know what that is? That's legalism. And lots of people love to accuse anyone with standards of being legalist, right? just because you try to live a holy life or you're a legalist, right? You preached it. Shame on you. No. If it's in the Bible, we'll keep preaching it, all right? But we're not trying to earn. God loved me before I got saved. He loved me before I learned anything about holiness, and he'll love me for centuries after, all right? He'll always love me. God is not just, you say, you dress right, does God love you more? No. He loves me the same. I'm not earning more love from God. And I'm not earning my way to heaven. I'm going to heaven because faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did for me on the cross. Period. That's it. That's it. No work that I am doing is affecting my eternal destiny in any way. And I'm not earning the love of God. That's legalism. B, we are displaying our salvation and our love for God. That's called evangelism. Our life should be about, look what Christ has done for me. I love him. And our dress should reflect that. Number five, our dress should insulate us. Dress in righteousness, one of his inner thoughts. A sheep's clothing, they will insulate the sheep. You know, it keeps them warm. That's what wool does. And it really does. That's like, you know, living in whatever environment they're in. Revelation 3:16, out the turn, you know the verse, right? When it comes to lukewarm, what happens? God spews it out of his mouth. Makes him sick. Our dress many times shows our temperature for the Lord. Dressing in holiness keeps us more warm on the inside. We should be on fire for God. Just mark this. This is the whole point. When a Christian grows cold, his clothing always changes. And I'll stand by that fact till the day I die. I know I'm not 80 years old, but I have lived just a couple days, 43 years, and all my life in a Christian circle. That's a fact. Now again, don't confuse it with those who have never been taught. Praise the Lord, let God teach through the Word of God. But I'm talking about those who know better, been taught better, and decide to turn the other way. There's two things that always reveal the heart. Remember this. Two things always reveal the heart. Dress is one, and the singing is the other one. Always. That's just my Travis Burke bits of wisdom for you from experience, all right? Someone who stands there and just can't open their mouth and never make a mumble. You don't sing good. I didn't say that, all right? Neither did God. But someone that sits there like this through song services, something bad wrong in their heart. Mark my word. Number six, a sheep's dress produces a natural oil. We're almost done. So if you've hated the last 4 weeks, you can take a deep breath. We're almost done. A sheep's dress produces a natural oil. Wool produces lanolin. Dress in salvation. A sheep's wool produces a natural oil which hydrates, moisturizes, and aids in healing. Our clothing, again, should keep our heart soft. Oil, many times in the scripture, is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Leviticus chapter 2, Luke chapter number 4. And I guess I'm just summarizing the lesson in these thoughts. If we would let our clothing be directed by the Holy Spirit of God, you'll have no problem dressing holy. Let's be honest for a second. Do you think the Holy Spirit's going to ride the line? I mean, do you really think the Holy Spirit's going to say, all right, I know the Bible says the thigh is nakedness, so let's take it to the very top. I mean, let's make it so you're constantly pulling that down. And you know, that's, I mean, you can go on the top, so let's write it as high as we can. Is that the Holy Spirit? Do you really think that's the Holy Spirit of God? Let's see how low we can get this. All right, you haven't crossed the line. No, no, let, the Holy Spirit's in charge. I mean, again, some things, and I've taught, I've, without a shame, I've tried to show you what the Bible says. But let's get down to what it's all about. If the Holy Spirit is in charge of our life, do you really think he's going to see what we can get away with? Do you really think the Holy Spirit's going to say, let's go as far as we can? Our clothing should be a means of expressing our love to God. Lots of people have an issue with clothing. Some are not at our church service tonight because they know I'm speaking on clothing. They told me. Right? They're not here because of this topic. And I will hold to this. clothing issues, when people have an issue with clothing, it is always about you. It's because you want to do something else. And pretty much anything, right? Same topic. When I have a problem with whatever it is, it's because me. I want to do what I want to do. Then I always have problems. People like to say, well, clothing's not a big issue. Well, if it's not a big issue, then why not go the direction of holiness? Why are you so, why are you red-faced? Remember our clothing, right? No anger, no wrath. Why are you getting red-faced? Why are you getting mad? Why are you talking bad about the sermon as soon as you get in the car and tearing it down, right? If it's not a big deal, why has it stirred you so much? I mean, where you eat, on a Tuesday evening, your family, maybe, let's say you have the tradition, you go out to eat, and you go to a fast food restaurant. All right, if that's your, that's foolish, I know. Okay, but that's your tradition. Everybody in my make-believe world? All right, if you come to me and say, we go to Taco Bell, I don't like Taco Bell. I call it taco smell. I don't like it, all right? My wife loves it. She loves taco smell. So anytime if I ever make the statement, where do you want to get something to eat? I know taco smell is coming, all right? She's loved it since a teenager, hadn't she, Miss Napier, right? She loves taco smell, and she loves it, all right? She's always enjoyed it, all right? If you come to me and say, well, we're going to Taco Bell, I'm not offended. That don't bother me because it's not an issue. If you go to White Castle, I'll hug you. But you can go to Taco Bell. You can go to Burger King. You can go to McDonald's, Arby's. I don't care where you go because that's not an issue. If clothing's not an issue, you don't care when I talk about it. But the reality is it is an issue. And that anger and the hurt and the conviction, there is a power in your life that's pulling you one direction and the Holy Spirit of God pulling you in another, and there is a battle going on. And dress does matter. I get this last thought, look at it. Wool isn't worth much. Right now it's worth $1.45 a pound. I mean, it's not worth much. That's my whole point. Clothing, big deal. I mean, this right here, it's a piece of cloth, right? My tie, it's a piece of cloth. My shirt, piece of cloth. My shoes, I don't even know what they're made out of. It's just whatever that is, fake leather, right? And whatever, it is what it is. It isn't worth that much. Wool is not worth anything. $1.45 a pound. But when you put it into the hand of a skilled craftsman, the value shoots through the roof, man. If you don't believe me, go to the men's warehouse and buy you a wool suit tomorrow. You'll find out what happens when a craftsman gets a hold of wool, all right? It won't be $1.45 a pound, I'll tell you that, right? Clothing's the same way. It ain't going to send you to hell. It ain't going to send you to heaven. But if we dress in salvation, righteousness, humility, strength, honor, and judgment, if we let the Master have control of our clothes, it is of great value. So why is it of great value? All of you know this to be true. Because when you're walking out in the world and you see someone dressed in modest clothing, what is your first thought? We have a joke in our family. When we're out and we see, another family or a group of people and there's girls dressed in skirts or dresses, Grace is always, and me, we're always just like, yes, right? We just joke around. Yeah, we get you, right? Grace is like, skirt people, right? Yeah, we're there, right? It's a joke. We get it. But the fact is this, when they're dressed, you see it. You notice it, and trust me, so does the world. So does the world. And guess what? You don't have to dress, you're not a dork. Some people think, well, if I dress modestly, I'll be a dork. You're not a dork. I mean, I gotta admit, I'm pretty smooth. I mean, today I had a shirt on. It's made to be untucked. I mean, I had no problem. I looked pretty smooth. I had no issues at all. I wasn't ashamed the way I looked, right? I'm kidding. Some of you are like looking at me, right? But my point is this, right? You're not a dork. You're not I've already been. True story. I am not making this up. Someone said, you know, you're teaching we should dress like Muslims and women should only show their eyes. They said that to me. I have not taught that. Amen? I've not said that. But I it's sad that someone said that, but everybody look at me. It's because the devil has a stronghold. So it's pushing, ridiculing, mocking. If you just listen to what we showed in the Bible, it's not weird. It's not odd. And if you dress that way, it points people to the Lord. And may our dress be something that just points people to God.